Recording. Hey Ryan, hey, thanks for joining us today with this project Spotlight on Members.
Yeah, thanks David. It's awesome to be here and to talk about something that I love so much.
Cool, good. Well, it's going to be great to get to know you a little bit more. We spent a little bit of time together working on some technical projects, which I really appreciate a lot. Yeah. So we'll just start out with this first question. How is it you came to the Dharma, to studying and practicing Buddhism?
Yeah, I actually was confused by that question myself because it felt like it's been part of my life for so long that I couldn't really, the first thing that I could pinpoint that really brought it into my life was I had a third grade teacher that taught us to meditate as a way to like calm the class down and such. So I think I just started using that as a tool that I could use. But I called my mom about this question to see if she remembered me talking about meditation or remembered me reading a certain book or whatever. And she said that after that time, she noticed that I became more interested in like spiritual stuff and metaphysics and whatnot. So it really felt like it was kind of always a part of my life. But yeah, I think it really started focusing itself when I was a teenager and I started experimenting with psychedelics and I got really into Indian music and that sort of thing. And I think at that time, as I said, with metaphysics became a huge part of my life. And I realized that understanding like the fundamental nature of things was something that I was really interested in. And so it sort of felt like that. I ended up studying physics in college, which I feel like is part of the same desire. And so I felt like Buddhism was sort of like the other side of the coin to my interest in physics. And I, you know, started listening to podcasts, or I guess they weren't podcasts at that time, but I would get books on tape from the library of Jack Kornfield. And when YouTube came out, I'd listen to a lot of Alan Watts. And I started like really feeling like characters such as Ram Dass was someone that I should follow a similar path, that felt right to me. And yeah, from there, it's just, you know, I did end up going to India and living there for a year. And I've, you know, everywhere I've lived, I've always gone to the meditation center there first. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good explanation of how I came to it.
I forget, did you go to, were you a student at Naropa University?
No, I went to UC Berkeley for physics.
So how long have you had some connection with Nalanda Bodhi?
Oh, so that started 2 years ago. Exactly as I said, I moved to Boulder 2 years ago. And the first thing I did was I went to Shambhala, and I didn't really feel, it felt too big and too, I don't know, kind of culty. I know that some stuff is like really come out about that aspect recently, but so yeah, I checked out Nalanda Bodhi's Sunday program and, you know, got on their mailing list and just really felt at home with the community there and felt really welcomed, and also felt like the class offerings were really great. And it also happened to be right next to my house, so I could kind of rush out at the last minute to get there. And yeah, that was really how I started to
So for about 2 years or so. It's really nice to have you as part of our community. You know, we're an older community, so you're in the younger crowd. So it's really nice to have some fresh energy like that too, Ryan.
Yeah, and it's been great. I mean, I've been taking the classes there pretty much for 2 years, like since I first started. So awesome.
Yeah, cool. So do you have a kind of favorite Dharma teaching, you know, something that you call upon in your work life, in your personal life, your kind of everyday life, you know, something that kind of guides you with what you're doing and how you kind of interact with people in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I am hard pressed to think of something that's my favorite because it really feels like a worldview. But there's a few things, like one of them being that all things exist as opportunities to move towards a more compassionate, generous, enlightened life. I really love that any negative thing, positive thing, all of that exists as a way to help you and to help other people through you. So that's something that I really connect with deeply and just feels like the ultimate support in my life in general. Also, like, impermanence is really helpful for me because, you know, I do realize that we're here clinging on to things and that they are all impermanent, and that sort of being thrust into a groundless space really helps me to find ways to live more fully and to, you know, really appreciate what matters and to move towards always being better and better as a person to myself and to other people. So not to mention that I just love that the Buddhist teachings are so clear and like almost infallible. I never, you know, they work for every situation. And I really, as sort of a logical person too, that really sticks with or helps me a lot.
Yeah, that sounds really pretty good. So definitely the teachings resonate a lot with how you look at the world and how, how you deal with things like change and so on. Sure. Yeah, and I think that's true. I think the Buddhist studies, you know, I'll put myself in that category too. I really do love some of the reasonings and some of the logic, you know, that come with the study of Buddhism too. And a lot of Bodhi really has a wonderful curriculum in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I took Mind in Its World, and if that's not an exercise in logic, then I don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of diving pretty deep into it from the very beginning there. The advanced study program. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, cool. So speaking about kind of being in the world and living, so a little bit more too about what you do for a living, how you, what's going on right now, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm very grateful because I've been doing really well in this whole time. I'm just really thankful that I work as a web developer for a music licensing company. They provide music for Netflix and for TV programs and ads and stuff. So that industry has remained a big industry, and I already was working remotely. So my job's been just chugging ahead. And I guess I'm an extrovert. Because I love people and I love being around people, but it's also been such a dream for me to, you know, pick up, I've like been learning drums again and taking sitar lessons and, you know, doing all these things around the house and in with my hobbies that are, you know, I don't find time for when I'm feeling obligated to go to social events and stuff like that. So that's been really nice for me. And then, yeah, just lots of connection with the outdoors. I go canyoneering in southern Utah. I've just been camping a lot. And
all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw in another connection with you via Zoom when I was looking at your house or apartment, whatever it is, you know, that you have some guitars in the background. So are you, how far along are you in your musicianship? Are you a professional?
I think I am a professional. I don't think I like fit the professional bill in that, like, I could definitely be playing out more. I actually started a new band during quarantine as well. And wow. We've already played two shows outdoors. So, wow. You know,
cool.
But,
what's your
partner? I'm on like professional level. I've been playing piano. I started playing piano when I was 4. I've played guitar for like 15 years and, music is pretty much my guiding force in life.
Yeah. Cool. So piano and guitar. So you're accomplishing both instruments then?
Yeah. And I play bass and I play a little bit of banjo. And like I say, I'm learning sitar and drums. Oh, wow. And yeah. And I do computer music stuff too with the logical side. And
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm working on performing more.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know how much you've been to some of our social events at Nolan DeBody, but music and singing is a big deal. You know, we have these beautiful so-called dohas, which are songs, you know, kind of profound songs from Milarepa, Kempo Rinpoche, and other people that have been put to music, you know. And when we go to like Sangha retreat, you know, there's always a lot of singing. They're pretty simple songs, you know. They're almost like campfire songs. You'd sing in the summer, which is good. And just yeah, everybody can sing along to it. You know?
I sing a lot of country songs, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, we got a few musicians in the Sangha, you know, that you know, can pick up the accompaniment part on guitar and piano and so on. So hope you can join a band sometime, the Nolan DeBody
band. Yeah, I really want to be involved with that. We've talked about it, and I think it's just been me dropping the ball. I didn't come to the one time where I was supposed to come. So
well, and the pandemic has certainly put a, you know,
yeah,
we haven't been able to get together. So maybe sometime in about 6 months or so, we'll all get together in person again and bring our, some people can bring instruments. We'll have a song fest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that sounds like that's a good part of your life then, bringing some joy and somehow it's connected to some of the Buddhism and things like that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, music is like the close, like, talk about being present. I feel like I'm just like in a timeless void when I really get into playing music. And I'm a big improviser, so, and a deadhead. So, you know, I'm into noodling off into infinity. So, yeah.
That's a good way to spend your time. We actually have somebody in our Sangha, who I think you know, Steve.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard, but he, in this time of the pandemic and staying at home, got himself a new Fender guitar. So he's spending, he said, 3 hours a day practicing his guitar.
Oh, not only have I heard, but I've given him 2 lessons.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I went to his house and everything. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. He's rocking out.
I'm kind of jealous. You know, I used to have a guitar a long time ago and I took lessons and kind of noodled around, never got very good at it. And then stopped. But I've thought about it sometimes in times like this, you know, picking, getting a guitar, because it's kind of fun just to, you know, do some simple kinds of things. Yeah.
Totally. Or a ukulele is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought about that
too. It's small, you know.
You can carry it around with you easier. Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Yeah,
cool. Well, good. Well, Ryan, this has really been fun to catch up with you a little bit more, learn a little bit more about your life, what you're doing. And again, a real lot of appreciation of just having you around to help me on some of the technical things we've been doing together too.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, and you know, it feels really good to serve the community.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, good. Well, I hope we'll see you in some of our study programs, and you know, once we get back together, see you maybe up at the Nolan DeBody, because we'll still have the center. We're still up there. Nobody's there, but we're still there.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, we're still paying the rent too, which is a little hard, but we got a lease and it's been too hard to get out of the lease. So we're hoping we can you know, we're doing some things in person in people's backyards, so we'll see how things go. But it's going to be a while probably, but we'll be back together at some point for sure. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for doing this, and I'll send you the link to our recording and let you know where we're going to, where we're putting these things too. So I'm going to stop the recording now.
Awesome. Well, thanks, David.